afternoon delight. How about hour number two on a Friday? Hope you're having a good Friday the 13th. Cross your fingers if you need to. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling's in Chicago on vacation. I think he's back. He's back Monday because he and Brad are going up to Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah, I think he's getting back maybe Sunday and doing that quick turnaround.
So we'll see him Wednesday. Maybe. I think we finally get to see him actually in person on Wednesday.
I think so. I texted him and said, Chad and I miss you, but Dylan, Brian, and now Wags, Cam. I was like, everyone's doing a really good job.
Yep.
So he said, I'm glad to hear that. He is going through kind of what I went through a little bit when you live in a big city like that, and then you move and come back, and you expect all your dishes and restaurants to be there. Sometimes the restaurants aren't there, even if they are.
Nah.
Dishes. He said his three favorite sweets in Chicago are gone. I mean, I could feel, too. It hurt. It hurt a little
bit. He is so adorable. He has three favorite sweets in Chicago.
Oh,
I love that that's how he would phrase it.
I'm going to sell him out here.
What a foodie. I love that.
I'm going to sell him out
here. Love it. All right.
We do have someone listening in Dominican Republic.
Oh, very cool.
Truck driver is.
Shout out to the DR.
Thank you very much.
And if they're a truck driver in the Dominican Republic, be sure you're careful because the roads there are crazy.
Yeah, and he...
Let's be real careful.
He gave a city name here, but I think he may be playing with me because I think I know that as slang.
Ah, fair enough. All right, thanks to Wags for producing for us. Let's go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk some football. 50 days away from Texas and Maryland. It is Anwar Richardson, orangebloods.com. You've heard him plenty of times on the show, at Anwar Richardson on Twitter. Anwar, how's your Friday?
It is great. You guys talked about the Dominican. I'm thinking back to my 20s and some crazy, crazy times in the Dominican. Yeah. He's a truck driver, and I put that in air quotes, by the way.
Hey, Anwar, I've heard it's really fun down there. I know BJ Brian Jones, I think, still has a place down there. It's a pretty good spot to get away and not spend too much, right?
I ain't going to talk about it. I'm a married man right now.
I know. Congratulations.
But there's a lot of women who are trying to get off the island. That's all you can say.
And you know what they say about shortstops? You don't walk off the island. You got to hit off the island. I'm sure it's probably true with the women, too.
Right. Either way, you got to swing the bat.
You got to swing the bat.
That's what it is.
Yes. There's a lot of your listeners who have some Dominican / Costa Rica / Philippines memories. And, you're taking a lot of people back right now.
There you go. Anwar, we're focusing in on receivers today, 50 days away from Texas's first game. So we'll start there with the discussion. You're going to be heading up to Media Days Monday and Tuesday. Longhorns will go on Tuesday. But let's talk about these receivers, Lil Jordan Humphrey and Colin Johnson and Duvernay and these guys. I remember Tom Herman talking, you know, bragging about his group last year. Just didn't feel like they quite lived up to his expectations. What do you think about this year? What could we see with these receivers?
Man, I don't know. I mean, we're in that like weird kind of time where it's like preseason talk. So, you know, you can talk yourself into damn near anything at this point. And
true,
you know, everybody's kind of great, and everybody has potential, and you know all these type of things. But you know, when it's all said and done, like, if you really look at it, I mean, if you look past, like, last year, like, you know, everyone talks about Colin Johnson. And Colin Johnson, you know, according to a few, you know, mock drafts, he's a potential first rounder. You know, Colin Johnson only had two games last year where he had over 100 yards receiving. He had 125 versus Maryland. He had 191 in the monster game versus, you know, Southern Cal. But outside of that, there was like nine other games where Colin Johnson didn't have over 50 yards receiving. So, you know, how are you supposed to interpret that? Like, how are you supposed to somehow magically translate that and say, okay, he's just going to, you know, wiggle the nose and all of a sudden he's going to be there. We know little Jordan Humphrey has, you know, flashes. He's had spots of potential, but you know, is he really that guy? Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm not saying that little Jordan Humphrey doesn't have a lot of talent. Like, I think he's arguably the best receiver on the team, but we don't know. You know, Devin Duvernay, you know, all we know is he had that, like, 80-yard touchdown reception against Baylor. And then that's all we really know about Devin Duvernay, and that was, like, 2 years ago. You know, Jerod Hurd, he's a guy that, you know, made that switch a couple of years ago, and he still really hasn't had that impact that you really would have thought he would have had as coming from that quarterback to receiver position. So, you know, what I see right now is that dreaded P word, which is potential. Mm. And so, sure, if everything goes well, they have the potential to do well. They have the potential to do good. But we don't have a body of work that you can point to and says, I know this guy is a bona fide, you know, six receptions for 101 yards, 120 yards, one touchdown. Like, they don't have that on that team right now.
Yeah, I mean, the potential is kind of the word that's being floated around there, and I think you're dead on with all the preseason talk. It's definitely fun to throw it out there, but you can kind of talk yourself into anything, and the reality is these guys underperformed last year, and a guy who just seemed out of place was Devin Duvernay. Do you think that getting him out of the slot and getting him, at the Z, is going to be beneficial for him?
I mean, potentially, yes. And so if we're just going to talk strictly on potential – and we're talking about guys playing on air or guys playing against guys that they practice against every single day. Absolutely. Like, Devin Duvernay, we know that he's got that speed. You know, we've seen that before. We know that he had that speed in high school. We saw that before him as a freshman. He's a guy that was kind of a tweener, you know, had the possibility of leaving the program but decided to stay, has rededicated himself, was running with the first team. So, you know, Devin Duvernay, he definitely looks like a guy that just says, you know, has that potential breakout potential. And as I said, potential in like three times in one sentence. he has that breakout potential. But, you know, again, we have to see it, you know, going forward. But, you know, are there guys on this team that you look at and say, man, you know, these guys could be, you know, special? Like, absolutely. It's one of these weird things that if you look at that offense, you know, honestly, you would say, hey, this offense could be really, really, really good. You know, you've got four guys on the offensive line that are upperclassmen. Derek Hurst-Stredder is like the only guy that's kind of an underclassman. You look at the receivers, most of those guys who are probably going to play the majority of the time, those guys are going to be upperclassmen. Trey Watson is a guy from Cal who's going to be the transfer running back. He's an upperclassman. You got your left tackle again, you know, but Calvin Anderson, he's an upperclassman. You know, obviously, you know, we're going to go back and forth between Shane and Sam. But, you know, let's say, you know, Sam he ends up being the guy. Well, at least he's had some time, you know, sort of starting as a freshman last year. Like, you look at it and you say, man, they're going to have a lot of veteran experience out there, but, and there's that, you know, that comma, but those guys just have to put it together. And until they put it together, we just don't know what this team looks like. Look, when the poll came out, you know, amongst Big 12 riders, all the Big 12 riders' consensus was this is the number four team in the Big 12. Like, that was the consensus from the outside looking in, not from Austin or majority of state of Texas, but from the outside looking in, most people said this is the fourth team in the Big 12. That actually means like most people are projecting probably around an 8-win season for Texas. So it's up to this group, Tim Beck especially, to do what they need to do in order to exceed expectations.
And Anwar, the other thing too is that it's easy to focus on one position, but the wide receivers are going to need some help from quarterbacks throwing in the football and from an offensive line and running game that will actually pose somewhat of a threat. It seems like teams just don't respect the run and can play the pass against Texas.
Well, yeah. And like, it's, no, you know, I was talking with someone about this, and it's such a weird thing because our conversation would be so much different if, you know, Sam Ehlinger didn't fumble against USC. Mm-hmm. Like, what would the conversation would be like if Sam Ehlinger, you didn't throw that crazy interception against Oklahoma State?
Or Tech.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Or even Tech. You know, it's like, and let's say you say, all right, Anwar, Chad, and Kevin, all right, they were going to lose at least one of those games. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to see. No
Fair.
Matter what happened, they lost. They were going to lose one of them, right?
Yep.
That meant that it is a potential for a 9-win season. And our conversations are so much different at that point. If you just say, all right, they were going to lose USC no matter what, right? Like, no matter what, guys, they're going to lose USC. Okay, they win the other two. It's a 9-1 season, and the conversation is so much different. But it happened, and you had a freshman quarterback who made some pivotal mistakes at key moments. And because of that, you know, we're talking about what can this team possibly be, and there's a lot of question marks. And I think that's why a lot of times, guys, when we hear Coach Herman talking, it's a little bit defiant, and it's almost a little resentful at the questions that are being asked, because I think they look at it and say, we were right there and had some of our players not made just like boneheaded errors, we could have won these games. And we could have been here, you know, and so that's where, you know, I hear everything, you know, that you're saying, Kev, and, that's why we entered the season with, like, so many questions. And it's amazing because at Big Patrol Media Days, you know, as we're, you know, only a couple of days away, 2013 was the last time Texas sent the quarterback to Big Patrol Media Days, and that was big David Ash.
Yeah.
And we're still, how many years later, talking about, like, the quarterback position, how Texas needs to find that guy.
Yeah, and Chad, even if they would have won those two games, so I'm with Anwar, you can't take all three. Let's say you take two of those, right?
Yeah.
You get 9 wins. Still, all of us who really watch this team, and that's all of us talking right now, we would still say, yeah, but, man, were they a 9-win team? Remember that running game, that offensive line?
Right.
So I would have questions no matter what, even more with not winning those games.
No, that's true. We're talking with Anwar Richardson, OrangeBloods.com. Anwar, one of my big questions this year is that offensive coaching situation. I know it's not something Tom Herman wants people talking about, but it's huge. And we got fans texting in today about usage of receivers, and I think we need to run these sets instead of these sets. And Texas fans have had those frustrations. Talk to me about the offense. Is this still Tim Beck's game to call, or do you feel like we're going to hear that collaborative word from Tom Herman on Tuesday, and it's going to be a committee calling plays against Maryland?
Tom Herman can't have this be a committee.
Mm.
If Tom Herman says this is a committee, then Texas is in trouble. Okay, Tom Herman was not hired to run Tim Beck's offense. Okay, Tom Herman was hired to run Tom Herman's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Beck is supposed to be that, you know, he's just a guy that's just standing there. Like, he's the guy that's the conduit.
But you need to be his agent. For the record, you should be his agent. That
his
was
PR
well,
for
that
him.
Was well done.
Yeah, like, he's not that guy. Like, we're not, no one said, like, oh my God, like, I can't wait until Texas hires Tom Herman so he can run Tim Beck's amazing offense that he was a co-offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Like, I wrote something a couple of weeks ago in my Sunday Pulpit, and I kind of went back over the last 10 years, and I looked at teams that have won the Big 12 title. Like, I just went back and I just looked at the stats and I kind of just dug deep in it. Over the last 10 years, the set of 7 teams that have won the Big 12 championship over the last 10 years have either had the number 1 or number 2 offensively ranked in the Big 12.
Hmm.
Over the last 10 years, 7 teams have either had the top ranked or the second ranked offense in the Big 12 to become Big 12 champion. Only 3 times in that time span did they have a defense that was ranked number 1.
Mm.
So overall, what we're saying is, in order for Texas, to have success this year, in order for them to compete for a Big 12 championship, Texas needs to have one of the best offenses in the Big 12. And if you believe Texas is going to be better this year, then you have to believe in Tim Beck. You cannot have one without the other. It's impossible. You can't say Tim Beck is going to be average or below average, but then Texas is going to win 9 games or 10 games. Not in this conference. Not when you got to go against the Texas Techs, who have no defense. By the way, how the hell did Texas Tech get 3 defensive guys?
And OU didn't have one.
I mean, like, where are we at? Like, what in the Starro world, Jerry, are we at right now?
They're better, Anwar. They're better. They're tackling.
It is Bizarro
they're
world.
They're just trying. They're tackling so hard right now.
Oh, they're tackling because their team gives up 50 points.
Yeah, they're the secondary.
They have to tackle a lot.
So, they do.
I mean, like, you cannot say Texas is going to be better without saying Tim Beck is going to be better. You can't say that Texas is going to be better without Tim Beck as a better play caller. You can't say Texas is going to be better without Tim Beck as far as developing these quarterbacks. Like, this to me, this entire season rests on the shoulders of Tim Beck. Todd Orlando, he has done a fantastic job here. We know that he's got the most out of Malik Jefferson and the Holton Hill and the Sean Elliott. Like, we saw all that last year, but we know in this conference, it's not about the defense. Like, that's fantastic. You've got to freaking score points. You've got to be able to put points up on the board. So if Tim Beck doesn't do it, then this team's in trouble. And if Tom Herman decides at the end of the day his future is going to rest on Tim Beck, then he's going to be like Charlie Strong, who decided, hey, you know what? I'll just let Sean Watson do whatever he wants, and I'm just going to ride shotgun. You could do that if you want to, but after week one, when you get blown out, then all of a sudden you got to go to a Jay Norvell. So, you know, I hear what you guys are saying. Like, but at the end of the day, Texas hired Tom Herman because he was supposed to be the offensive guru at Ohio State. He was supposed to be an offensive mastermind at Houston. They did not hire him because they thought that he can get the best out of Tim Beck. They hired him because they thought this would be Tom Herman's offense, and this is the year that Tom Herman, no matter what, come hook or crook, he's got to step up.
I think that's a fair point, and your numbers with Big 12 championships are hard to argue. I still want some defense, but completely agree with and understand your point on offense. You know, Anwar, when I look at this offense too, the other thing that kind of stands out to me is the running back position. We're talking about wide receivers. How does that all play into this for you? I mean, not only with the offensive coordinator and the play calling, but are you worried about that position, or is that something that's going to work itself out?
I'm worried about which position?
Running back.
I think it's fair. There's a fair reason to be concerned about the running back position. You know, you have Trey Watson who's coming in, but you know, he's coming off an injury, so you got to see where he's at. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. He said he's somewhere around the 90th percentile, but you know, he's got to get up to the 100th percentile. I did some phone calls, you know, this week. People told me that Kirk Johnson has been doing great. He's been running, you know,
nice.
You know, without any restrictions, you know, this, you know, throughout the off-season workouts. So that portion has been good. But, you know, again, like, this is one of these things that you have a lot of unproven guys, and we're just going to go back to that potential word, right? You know, Tonnell Carter maybe has the potential, but, you know, when push came to shove, we can talk about Tonnell Carter, we can talk about Daniel Young. The leading rusher for the University of Texas last year was the quarterback,
yeah.
Sam Ehlinger. And he barely cracked 400 yards. So what are we really talking about right now? So, yeah, you could talk about, hey, these guys have the potential to do well, but it is a huge concern. And you know what? Stan Drayton was brought in order to elevate that room. You know, Stan Drayton was the guy that worked with the Carlos Hyde or worked with, Ezekiel Elliott and had success over at the Chicago Bears with Juwan Howard. But we didn't see that last year. You didn't see that out of Chris Warren. You didn't see that explosiveness out of Tonnell Carter. You didn't see that out of Daniel Young. So we're still waiting to see that Stan Drayton effect actually helps and gets things going the way they need to be going. So, yeah, the running back room, like, now to be fair, and let's just, if we're going to be fair, you guys ready to be fair for a second?
Yes, be fair. You've been fair.
Play devil's advocate.
Uh-huh.
Let's just play devil's advocate for a second, okay? That offensive line room had a ton of injuries last year.
Yeah.
And that right. has been, you know, some of the things that, you know, Tom Herman's talked about. But look, Connor Williams missed most of last season because he had a knee injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rodriguez, he missed most of last season because he himself had an ankle injury. Zach Shackelford, he had a concussion. Patrick Hutson, right?
Yeah.
He had an ACL. Patrick Vahe, he had an MCL. Jake McMillan, he had a hand injury. And then if you just, you know, even go beyond the offensive line, Andrew Beck, who was a tight end, missed all of last season because of fractured foot. So if you want to be fair to the running back, you can go point and say, hey, there was injuries up front and these guys never had a chance. So if you want to be fair, you can point to that and say, let's see what they do with a healthy offensive line. If they have a healthy offensive line, then we might be able to better judge them. So, you know, just to be fair, I'll throw that out there.
Okay. Anwar mentioned the Sunday Pulpit. That's his Sunday article. Check that out at orangebloods.com. If you have not, and if you're not, if you're on Twitter and you're not following him, do that too, at Anwar Richardson. Anwar, we always appreciate it. Kevin does have some time coming up, time off coming up in the future, so I may be in touch about getting you in here to play that tambourine for the people.
Listen. I love the tambourine. I feel like the cowbell is.
I mean,
like,
the cowbell. I'm sorry. You're the cowbell. You're the cowbell guy.
Yeah.
My bad.
And
cowbell.
The cowbell is my thing. And yeah. Like, I really like listen to you guys. And like, honestly, I just feel like you should play the footage of me doing cowbell going into.
I agree.
Going. Yeah, and then like we could do that. But yes, I am so down to do cowbell. But hey, feel free to call me either during maybe 12 mini days or afterwards, and we'll talk again.
Very
thanks,
cool.
Anwar. Good stuff.
Thanks, Anwar. Safe travels,
thank
man. Anwar Richardson will be heading up to Frisco like the rest of the Big 12 media for media days. Texas's day is Tuesday. If you missed it, we'll give you the full schedule of that coming up. Get you the Big 3. We'll get you an update on Djokovic and Nadal. They are playing a hell of a semifinal in Wimbledon right now.
And lots of texts coming in, including some stuff on Beck and a question about Tom Herman and his play calling we'll get to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a subject fans are going to want to talk about in 2018. Big 3 coming right up. Afternoon Blitz, one and done before this hour is over. Hope you're having a great Friday the 13th. This is The Horn. Like that.
You know this, right?
That beat's got like some marble to it.
You
that's
know
like a
is.
Fatty piece of brisket. I feel it feels familiar because I hear it on, there's some show that I always hear this on.
Come on. This is the best rap group of all time.
The best rap group of all time. So then I know you well
the
enough
Jordan,
to say that's Outkast?
That's Outkast.
Okay.
God, they're good.
Yeah, they were very good.
Thank you, Cam. I'm going to listen to Outkast this weekend. I've been too long.
I have gotten the pleasure of working with two big Outkast fans in my career, you and Jeff Ketchum.
Okay.
And Ketch is the one that he's the one that let me borrow. Let me see if I get it right. Southern Playalistic Cadillac Funky Music.
I think that's the name of the record. Yeah,
yeah. That is a real good. That's a good record.
Three of those are right.
At least three.
Yeah.
At least three of those are correct. Yes. Shout out to Outkast today. That is a great. Are they now? Are they still together? Like, do when's
they
the last time they did something?
Are, I don't know. I follow Big Boy on Twitter. I mean, I guess they're not playing a lot, but I think they played a little bit, and Big Boy's still doing some stuff. He's at Georgia Tech games all the time.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Is he a Georgia Tech guy?
He's like, an Atlanta guy.
Right, Atlanta. There you go, a little Outkast. Nothing wrong with that on a Friday. New music coming out on a Friday. Go find out what's out there. Also, register on the contest page at hornfm.com because every Tuesday we pick a winner for that Whataburger take a ticket Tuesday giveaway. It's so tough to say. Especially with a cough,
it really is.
With a cough drop in your mouth. Round Rock Express tickets, courtesy of Whataburger and 104.9 The Horn. Look out for that.
You're going drops during the show?
You know, gotta have some cough drops. Just make sure. I just
want to be impressive, man.
I want to be coughing, and yeah, you know, I get a little bit of. I never dipped myself, but thanks to the cough drops, I do have a little gully down there.
Little gully,
yeah,
yeah. When I cough dropping it up earlier, and I was like, man, this feels like a snuff, which I haven't had in years.
I have something that I don't think any woman would find attractive, but I have spacious gums. Like, I'll eat a meal and then find food, you know, 20 minutes later. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, where did that
too.
Come from?
I do, too, and I don't think that's a benefit.
Yeah,
I don't think that's so. A check in our box.
I don't think any woman, unless she works for a dentist and then pays you, that's the only reason she would like that. If she gets to clean it.
She cleans it.
And it gets extra money somehow.
Or just cleans it and goes, you know, I'm really into gums.
I really like gums.
You met the right woman.
You have big, weird gums, and I would like to date you. Thanks to Anwar Richardson for his time. We're getting some good texts off of that. We will get to those. Let's get you a quick Big 3 here and update you on this tennis match.
The Big 3.
All right, so it's brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303, or go to sinussnoringent.com. Djokovic and Nadal had to wait a while, but they got out there, and they went high level right away. Djokovic wins the first set 6-4, Nadal gets the second set 6-3, and they are 5-all in the third, playing some real high-quality tennis right now. The only question is, at about 5 o'clock our time, do they have to stop? I'm reading today there's some kind of curfew in effect. I'm hoping they're going to let this thing just play its way out and let them finish.
Gilbert did tweet earlier that stop asking questions. It's done at 11.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then he would, I mean, that tells me all I need to know.
Okay.
Because that's a connected dude in Brad Gilbert. And by the way, great piece of trivia. Back in the day, for those Jim Rome fans, he's Raider fan. He's the very first person that they started referring to as Raider fan.
Oh, really?
It's Brad Gilbert.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your weird trivia question.
Gilbert's an interesting cat.
Oh, I love Brad Gilbert. He's one of my favorite tennis players, just the whole story of all time.
Do you think Fowler's good at play-by-play for tennis?
Yeah, I think he does a good job.
Better than football?
It's about the same to me.
Serviceable.
I don't mind Fowler on football. I know a lot of people don't really think he's tremendous at football.
Yeah, but I don't think he's tremendous, but he doesn't bother me.
No, he's good at both. I think he does a good job on each one. Is he my favorite? No, but he does a good job.
Gotcha. McEnroe's great.
McEnroe as the color is always great. Patrick does a really good job in either role. Darren Cahill's good. They got a good group. Cover in Wimbledon, and thank God they get both these finals, and it's not on NBC anymore. They always screw something up, so it was great. I like having that part on ESPN. That ESPN takeover, I like. The tennis takeover. all right, so elsewhere, we got that at Wimbledon. Crazy five-setter earlier. If you missed it, Kevin Anderson beat John Isner. Unfortunately, Isner doesn't get to the final. 26-24 in the fifth. That one was crazy.
South African?
Kevin Anderson is South African.
But I heard that they had a college battle, and I think you said that yesterday, mm-hmm. didn't you?
Yeah, Kevin Anderson went to, I believe it's Illinois, and then John Isner's a Georgia guy.
South Africa to Champaign, huh?
That's right. It was Illinois against Georgia, and John Isner in an interview said they played multiple times back in the day. They played a lot.
Anderson was, God, tennis has some good sports. I think every other sport could listen to some of their post-match or post-game stuff, mm-hmm. and Anderson said, look, I'm sorry if I don't sound really excited. I'm wiped, but I'm also really good friends with John, and he's a hell of a guy, and I can't imagine. He said this was a draw. Nobody lost. Someone had to, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it was pretty big stuff.
That's good classy stuff there. 50 days until Texas plays Maryland, and they are picked. We know they picked fourth by the media. That was yesterday. Now we know the order of things, Monday and Tuesday. Texas will go second on Tuesday, and 10:40 is your Tom Herman press conference. Keep it right here on the horn. We got your full coverage, sending all kinds of folks up there to Frisco to cover that. Oklahoma goes last on the first day. TCU, excuse me, for you Frog fans, will start that first day. Then you got Kansas.
You just got frogged.
I did. I had a little shoning there. Sorry. Kansas Tech, Texas Tech, and Iowa State in the middle. Tuesday it'll be West Virginia, Texas, Baylor, Kansas State, and then Oklahoma State. And we're talking some wide receivers today in our college football discussion.
Let's give a shout-out to CB, CB9000.
Oh, yeah?
That's what you call him. His dad, I know, had some medical issues.
Oh, really?
And is arrived home today.
Oh, that's great news.
He's part of the family.
So very cool.
Congratulations, man. Hope you guys enjoy this weekend.
There you go. Shout-out to CB. I know for a fact he'll be watching every sport in the world and tweeting about it simultaneously.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
He's superhuman, man. There's no doubt. Also, one other quick note out of the NFL, since it does have a Cowboy connection and a Sooner connection, if we do have some Sooner fans listening out there, DeMarco Murray has announced his retirement from football. 7 seasons in the NFL. He had 49 touchdowns, over 7,100 yards. Cowboy fans know him as the workhorse in 2014. But, you know, Hope everything's is going well for DeMarco. Hope the life goes well.
And 7 years.
I hope
it's a short span in that position now.
It is, but I hate to.
And that's not even that short.
No, I'm starting to become selfish on their side of things. I'm starting to like more and more of these retirement stories at that level, at that number 8, 7, 9. I'm actually liking that now because I feel like the education has taken hold. They understand what's out there. They're giving them enough money now where after a 7 or 8 year span, they can say, you know what? I'm done.
And you're showing some growth because I know you wanted Bill Bates to play till he was 50 as a nickelback where he couldn't even,
you know, write his own name down.
That is correct.
You're showing growth as a sports fan, which is, it says a lot.
I used to go to training camp every year and scream, why aren't y'all still playing, and throw things at the old guys. It was really embarrassing.
You were a big Jim Palmer fan when he made that comeback.
That is correct. The Jim Palmer thing, I believe.
That was such a bizarre comeback, man.
Remember in the 80s?
It was spring training, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like 45 or something like that, and he hadn't pitched in 5 years.
Remember in the 80s when Jim Brown talked about coming back?
Yeah. That one I bought.
And we were all like, well, maybe.
I'm not going to say anything. Let me see this first.
Yeah, let me not say no right away. There's your big three in the 4 o'clock hour. Some great texts coming in. We've had a lot of different ones. Somebody texted in earlier. Texas needs to shorten the receiver rotation because guys don't get into rhythm with their quarterback.
Agreed. And they need to tighten it up for certain situations.
Yeah, and then this one's great,
third
too.
Third and six, and dudes aren't out there that should be.
This one says, can we line up with 5 wides in an empty set instead of motioning out a wide receiver nobody's afraid of? See, those are comments from fans that make me realize the last thing we talked about with Anwar, I think it's the most important thing for this football team. It's that offensive play-calling thing.
Just the whole thing being what?
Cohesive?
Coordinated.
Coordinated, yeah. That's their job, right?
Right.
Offensive coordinator. How much does Herb Hand help out, and what happens on game day? Is it truly one voice? He said the word collaborative before, and it made me shiver when he said it in a press deal. I'm like, okay, coach, I know why you're saying that word, but you don't mean game day, do you? You don't mean in that 40 seconds of time it's collaborative. So that's something that I really am going to watch with this team, but we haven't seen as much as you can try to do the, well, Colin Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey just have to step up. Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah, but there's other things involved with that.
But the setup of everything is important as well. So let's see how all that works out. 50 days away from Texas and Maryland. A lot of football talk today. We're talking receivers. And if you don't know, I didn't realize this till I was thumbing through it today, but shout out to Ole Miss Girl and all the folks in Oxford. Phil Steele says the best receiving corps in America is in Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay.
He says they're the best receivers in the country. And Hugh Freeze, if you'll remember, from all, despite all the mess.
Oh, he could recruit.
He was bringing in a lot of guys. With,
yes, he was.
Moncrief and all those dudes through the years. And they just sent me, you know, Evan Engram, that the Giants really feel good about in his second year.
I like Engram.
I love that guy. Oh, I can't stand that he's in the division with the Cowboys now, and I have to root against him because I loved him at Ole Miss. But that is a team that for postseason, we obviously can't watch them because they don't get to play in the postseason, but they have a receiving corps that's highly respected, and they have a young quarterback, the young Hawaiian kid, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and Chad, if you look at least Steele's top 10, how many Texas opponents are on there? I got it right now.
There were at least 3 or 4?
4.
It's 4.
3 okay. In conference. Baylor may surprise you at 7,
mm-hmm.
But they really like Denzel Mims. I can see that. And also, I forgot they've got Jalen Hurd, former Tennessee running back.
Somebody texted us the other day. Shout out to one of our listeners. Yes, the former Tennessee running back is listed
as a receiver
at Baylor this year.
Yeah, no, that's going to be intriguing to watch. You mentioned West Virginia at number 2, Oklahoma at number 4. They got Hollywood Brown back, CeeDee Lamb.
I dig Lamb. If Lamb keeps
Lamb's
getting
good.
Better, dude, that's a dangerous group if he keeps improving.
And if Calcaterra can help out with that receiving core, filling in for Andrews. Yep. And the other school that's on there is USC.
Oh, see, I hadn't realized that. Okay.
And what is that? Deontay Burnett's gone, but who do they have here? Oh, Tyler Vaughns finished his debut on a tear. Phil's right about that. Michael Pittman could be a freakish mismatch at 6'4", 220.
Mm-hmm.
Amon Ross St. Brown, a younger guy. We'll see how good they are. But like I've said the last couple of days, we all know this if you watch college football. Programs like that, even if they're down, and USC's not necessarily down, it's a cyclical year where they lost a lot of people, but they're still recruiting well, the program's doing well right now, they're going to have some guys that can hurt you.
Yep, tight end Tyler Pettit is a guy he's saying can play his way into the 19 draft. USC is going to have some talent, definitely a team to pay attention to.
Well, I'm so glad they have Stanford the week before.
Yeah.
I really like that.
You should be. That's a great scheduling.
Beat them up, Stanford.
That is a great scheduling matchup for Texas and USC if you are a Texas fan, because mm-hmm. you get to watch Tulsa, USC, and they've got to deal with Stanford, Texas.
Now, I want USC to win that game, but I want them to feel it.
Sure.
Double overtime.
Yeah. they'll know they played against Shaw.
Monday, they're not feeling well. Wednesday, we got some guys. I'm not sure about them.
And you go home, home.
Not hurt, though.
Yeah. You're home, home. They're road, road.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a really nice scheduling situation for Texas. We'll see if they can take advantage of it on September the 15th. There's your big three coming up. Your afternoon blitz. If you want to jump in, it's 447-3776. We'll see if you have anything for us on an afternoon blitz on a Friday the 13th. Then after that, I think I said Friday the 13th. I just took the R out. That's how weird it is today. Then it's one.
That's very odd of you, Chad.
Weird. Then
you were doing that yesterday.
I know. It's the cough drop thing, I guess. One and done coming up right after that. So don't move. It is a Friday show here on the Horn.
The Blitz.
All right, let's get an afternoon blitz going here. 447-3776. Get on in line if you're not there. First blitzer on a Friday. You're up.
Mopar traffic sucks. Shoot me in the head.
It was bad today. I can only imagine right now.
We will not shoot you. We hope you can get through it, though. We're glad to maybe take your mind off of it for a second.
Use your blinkers out there.
Blinkers are important. That's good. Use those. Just try to drive as safely as you
can. Westlake people, too. When you're taking that to Bee Caves, there's already a thought about you in Austin, whether you care or not. You should care, because if you don't use your blinker, then it shows you don't care. You get all that?
Yes. Need caring.
Need caring. Care.
Blitzer number two, you're up.
Yo, well, I see Big 12 media is acting like CNN. Texas number four, are you kidding me?
Oh.
Digger needs him higher? Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know.
Sounds like maybe you didn't like the four.
Not giving love.
Okay. Blitzer number three, you're up.
Hi, Chad and Kevin.
Hey.
So, Buggy and Aaron have been discussing about trying to make this station Disney quality. I'm not too sure that Monkey Hastings and Kevin Doom help that cause. What do you think?
What was the... They're trying to make it what?
I'm not sure. It was some comment about Monkey Hastings and Cabin Dune.
Trying to make this, I don't know.
Something. I think Cabin Dune absolutely helps this show. And Monkey Hastings occasionally. The actual Monkey Hastings helps. Can help this show.
The character can add some things, too.
The character I am not for. We all know that.
We know that.
Yeah, I vote for one and not for the other in that case.
I vote for both.
Blitzer number four, you're up.
Don't overlook Maryland. Worried about game three USC. It could be a downward spiral.
Wow. Hey, that's a good point.
Hey, you got to play, man.
And also, you shouldn't overlook them. They came in here and whipped you last year.
They hung half a hundy on you last year.
Defensively, I bet you Orlando will remind them of that.
I would think so. Oh, if you do that, then there's bigger issues going on there. We are assuming you're not overlooking a team that beat you.
Right, and Maryland had so many problems with healthy quarterbacks last year. They've got Kasim Hill, Pegram, or whoever the other guy was. Well, we'll get into their quarterbacks, but they should be healthy this year.
Yeah, it's true. And finally, blitzer number five, you're up.
Let me tell you who makes the show, who really makes the show, or at least this portion of it. I do. That's the story of Mike Matheny.
Yeah. That is awesome.
That's a good call. Come on, close the door for us.
That's good.
That's the story of Mike Matheny.
That's two good blitzes in a row. Nice job, blitzers.
I'm really thinking it is Trey.
Nice job.
People are so scared of Trey, they just don't want to even call.
There you go. I like that attitude.
Well, it's probably not the best attitude.
No, it's probably not.
Get on Trey when he's on vacation.
Probably not, but at this moment, I kind of like it. When it comes to the blitz, I like it.
Well, what I know is the way I think of it, what would Trey think if you heard that? You'd smile and go, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's okay.
You see my volleyball bod?
Yeah, it was awesome.
So I did see the picture with all of his buds there and the shirts off.
Yeah.
Man.
It was a hell of a photo.
It was.
Hell of a photo.
Someone in our tweets put Top Gun 2. Was that Chris Bennett?
Oh, yeah. You knew Chris Bennett was going right with the Top Gun, playing with the boys. Right away.
He's in shape, man.
He is.
He's
no.
in shape.
He has much more of a right to take his shirt off than a whole bunch of guys. So.
I don't know if I've ever taken a shirt with three other guys with our shirt off.
No.
Probably.
I don't think
someone may have taken a picture like at a game, like a pickup game. I mean, I don't know, but yeah. I don't remember ever.
No.
Does that make me homophobic? I don't think I'm homophobic.
No, I think you're just stating a fact.
Okay.
You just don't remember that situation.
Right.
Yeah. Not like you would have been uncomfortable in that situation. You just don't remember it ever happening.
No, and in fairness, I would have probably thought about it as much, if not more, definitely would have looked at it longer if it had been four chicks with their shirts off. So I think anyone with their shirts off, you know, with their arms around each other taking a picture in public is always going to be like, okay, well, we can probably get the shirts back on at this point. I know you're playing volleyball. I know you're in uniform.
Here's the same comparison for the ladies listening right now. How many times have you ever taken a picture with three other women and you're all wearing sports bras and nothing else on top? How many times has that ever happened?
And we need pics to believe it.
Right, like ever.
We need pics. 337-3776. I'm taking care of you boys back there.
Volleyball is one of the few situations where that happens.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It could.
It could happen. All right.
Yeah, they wear some tight stuff in volleyball.
They do. They do. Let's get you your first one and done of the show, shall we? One and done time, kids.
Peter liked to be
one and with her. Done.
It is brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week starting at noon. Now with Rudy's catered in on Saturday nights. Check out that calendar at texascardhouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
He's not an all-star, but I got to give him credit because he's done better than I thought he would. And I got to admit when I'm wrong. And Tim Tebow so far is hitting better than I thought he would in Double A. There's no doubt about it. He's not an all-star. I mean, that is about fan, you know, it's fan fueled, and I get that. That's fine too. The numbers are close enough too. In fact, his best month this year, what was his best month? He hit almost 300. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, his numbers have been a lot better. He seems to be grasping it a little bit. His career line now through 202 games is up to 241, 64 walks, and 221 Ks, and 671 at bats. So, still has to work on that, but he's shown a little power with the 13 home runs. I don't think he's a legit major league prospect, but he's a hell of a lot more of one than I thought he would be. And the fact that he got his first home run in April in Double A. So that move up to Double A, I was really curious to see kind of how Tebow would take that. And you know what? At the end of the day, it shows you how hard baseball is, like when Jordan did it or other athletes have done it, and the skill level you need. But it does show you this kid's a winner. Guy's a winner. I mean, he just is. We knew that back then. I thought the adjustment would be that tough. But tip of the cap to Timmy Tebow.
Look at you.
Look at you over there.
At
the end of the day, you know objectivity is what fuels me in life. Attempting.
I feel like there's personal growth going on your side of the table.
I think so, too.
Personal growth.
I think so, too. I'm chubbing over Tim Tebow, and I'm not chubbing.
My personal growth on Tim Tebow will be when I actually start to care about the baseball numbers and just forget about all the magical stuff, because you know I'm a big fan of the Tim Tebow magic, but it has been wild to watch, and when I looked at those numbers, too, I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like he hit 301 in June. He's only played in seven games here in July, but he's hitting 391. He's getting better. The on-base percentage is going up. You know, he's starting to get it a little bit.
And
we know he's athletic. We know he's a winner. We know he's going to work hard.
Right. And this is the other thing. The most important thing for you, a baseball purist, in your gut right now, do you feel like he's taking some spot from, like, guys that deserve it more? Are there, like, two or
three? An all-star spot, probably. For me, that's more about the futures game.
But you don't feel like
right?
He's not committing some kind of crime at the Double-A level
where he's holding a spot he shouldn't have.
No.
Michael would have been doing that more than Tebow.
Okay. All right. That's fair. And a big statement from you. That's big. That's big. For people that might think that you're just a Bulls homer and you'd love on Michael anyway.
No, they're idiots and they haven't listened to the show because I rip on Michael with 99% of his life. So
his baseball was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
It'd be a simplistic way to look at it and come to a conclusion, but you'd be a moron and have no experience, obviously, listening. Anyone who listens to the show knows that I get on him all the time.
I would love
as a husband, as a GM, as a lot of things.
There was something about Michael picking up that baseball bat that was so sobering.
Oh, I hated all that too. Like, Are you kidding me?
When he picked the
bat. I hated that. I hated that whole time.
That's what I'll say about Tebow. When he walks to the batter's box, he looks more like a baseball player, doesn't he?
Just the 6'6" and the lengthy long.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it didn't.
It looks so bizarre.
But even Michael hit better than I thought he would.
Yeah, no, he did. You're right.
When Michael hit a couple home runs, I thought, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't have been there. And Tebow's Tebow's been doing more than that. Give me a little bit of love, man.
Good for Timmy. Good for Timmy.
All right, 5 o'clock hour coming up. We're talking receivers today in college football. Phil Steele says Ole Miss got the best group of receivers in the country, but he says the second best group of receivers? Why, they're on Texas's schedule. A couple others are, too, in that top 10. We'll tell you all about that coming right up. Hope you're having a good Friday. Hope that traffic's not too crazy. We're glad to take your mind off of it a little bit. Good Lord. It's the Horn.